You're listening to Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com.
Hello, and welcome to Web Fiction World. My name is Anna Hart. I'm here with my co-host, Greg X. Graves, to guide you through the bewildering world of online fiction. Last time, ages back, we looked at crowdfunding and alternative business models. Well, I say we looked at, but really, Maggie Hogarth just left us speechless with all her knowledge. This week, we're going to be looking at NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month, which occurs every November. And we'll go into it in great detail later. We'll also have a reading. But before we get to all of I'd like to introduce today's guest. Here with us today is S.J. Collins, artist and writer, also a very eloquent book reviewer when she puts her mind to it. Hi, S.J. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, before we chat about NaNoWriMo, Greg and I are going to quiz you about your life a little bit and introduce you to our readers. And so I'm going to go first because I'm special. From someone living in London with miserable weather at the moment, what's it like living in the Bahamas?
Oh, well, we've had a bit of wind over the last few weeks, so it's been actually quite nice because in summer it gets very, very, very hot. But the sun's out, so that's good. Not as cold as it was last week, but it's bearable at least.
And, Greg, it is your turn to ask a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't jump the queue. Say over. So I was going to ask you like a very hard hitting question here about like something really important, like what you had for breakfast or like how many push-ups you can do in a row. But I was going to jump in because I was wondering if there are any, if you draw inspiration from living in the Bahamas, like is there anything special that like you feel informs your art or writing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, our culture is very, very laid back, and mostly, I guess you'd say I'm sort of a minority here, even though I'm white. So, I see a lot of, I get a different perspective being part of a minority than I do being anywhere else in the world. And it's kind of nice because it informs my choices. I do a lot more with, characters and races and all different sort of things. You get a different perspective from it.
Cool.
And because I was reading on your about page, and I remember also from reading your reviews, you tend to like quite dark fiction. And why is that? What is it that appeals to you about maybe the darker sides of fiction as opposed to something happy like chick flicks?
Not really sure. I've always just been drawn to darker. I guess where I live in such a laid-back community, you go for something different. But I don't know. Just it always appealed to me. That's what I go for in my writing and my art as well. So,
do you find that living where you are is there like a culture of like dark fiction? Because I know living on the East Coast of the United States, I moved here from the Midwest, and there's definitely a much stronger like horror vibe going on out here than there is in the Midwest, and I've always partially attributed that to the fact that we have a very long autumn here on the East Coast as opposed to the Midwest where it would go from summer to winter overnight. Have you noticed anything similar to that, like culturally, that would draw you towards that?
Well, here in the Bahamas, we don't have a huge readership. Not many people. Well, I shouldn't say not many people. Many people don't read for fun, I should say. But I know that horror movies do exceptionally well down here. So,
see, they really don't read for fun. What do they read for pain?
Well, I shouldn't say that. It's just that I don't know many people that read for entertainment. They usually see it as a hassle, or they have to do it for schoolwork. Now, of course, you do have people who do, but I'm saying as a I think the majority Bahamians don't enjoy to read for fun. At least, not that I know of. They prefer more visual entertainment.
My turn?
So do you think that makes you a masochist then, because you write stuff?
Probably.
Yeah, but Esther, you also do art as well, right? So is that, do you think that's kind of as a way, a compromise between your passion for writing, or is that kind of, has it always been simultaneous, the art side of things and the writing?
It has. Ever since I started writing, I've always had a vision of what my characters look like, and I would always sketch them out, and basically anything like maps and such that I need to figure out where certain something was, or any world building, I'm usually just sketching or doodling it.
Cool. So do you feel like the art and writing are antagonistic to each other, or do you think that they kind of complement one another and work together well?
They definitely complement each other. I figured out a lot of things just by sketching, and don't know if you know about clustering or world, not world, word mapping.
No.
I've figured out a lot of yeah, it's basically where you put down a word that you're thinking of, could be a character or anything, and from that you would circle that word, then draw a little line to something that makes you think of it, and circle that, and basically you get a lot of brainstorming done. At least I've gotten a lot of brainstorming through clustering. I learned that from the Holly Lyle How to Think Sideways course. It's really helpful, especially since my brain tends to work with both drawing and writing.
I actually use that too. That's the technique I use to come up with book titles, is I think of like all the words that the book makes me think of, and then just kind of keep drawing loads of words, and then eventually look at the page filled with words and try to pick out ones that go together to put a title together. I don't know if anyone else uses it, but generally, other than that, other than like, yeah, selecting book titles, I don't seem to use that technique. I should use it more often, I guess.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea, especially if you're, deep into working on something and you have a lot of different ideas kind of swirling around it. That's cool. So do you use art or writing to, I don't know if artists get like art block the same way that writers get writer's block, but can you use writing to break yourself out of an artistic block, or can you use art to break yourself out of a writer's block?
More often than not, I use art as a way to break a writer's block. I don't usually have trouble thinking about what to sketch. Usually it's only if I don't know how to draw something in my head, then I'd get a little block, but it's usually just a matter of finding reference and things to draw from life from. So yeah, more often than not, it's art helping with the writing rather than writing helping with art.
Well, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you is I noticed you're taking part in CoyoteCon, which is October 26 to 28, and I had a look at it, and it was all about fantasy and sci-fi and horror. And I mean, are you involved as just a reader in that, or as a writer? And can you give us a bit more background on that community? Because it's a con that I hadn't come across before.
Well, I'm just participating as a sort of an audience member. I'm not really participating from a panelist point of view, but I know a bit about it because my friend is running it. It was originally run by Drollery Press about a few years ago, but Drollery Press unfortunately had to close due to the editor-in-chief's health. And Jolie Sue Burkhardt, who is my friend, took it over. And she seems to be doing great. I know she is looking for panelists, so not sure who's signed on yet. I just have been sort of checking in with her every now and again to see how it's going, and I'm definitely looking forward to it, but I don't know that much about it from the panelist point of view, unfortunately.
Is it a physical con, or is it a virtual con?
Con.
Ooh, you broke up there again. I think it's an online con from what I could see.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. Do you think that online cons are as valuable or possibly more valuable than physical cons?
Definitely, especially if you're like me, very socially have social anxiety. But yeah, I definitely think they're just as valuable to the introvert as they are for physical cons. Of course, you get more from physical cons by actually meeting, but you can network just as easily from the virtual side of things.
Yeah, and especially for, web fiction. I met Anna once, but we are, an ocean apart, and all of these people that I talk to are scattered all over the world.
No, I'm fairly sociable though. I like meeting people in person. Though I think I overwhelmed you, Greg, didn't I? I was like, blah blah blah. I'm a bit of a chatterbox.
Well, we were all excited to meet each other. I was like, whoa, someone from the internet.
I was like, he's not gonna kill me. Yay!
You got,
yeah, Greg, you're the first person I met. Oh no, I'd met MCM before that. Never mind.
I'm
sorry. I have to take back that honor.
Oh man.
Aww.
Yeah, I met MCM and Jan before you, so you're third.
And actually, in another life, I'm a web programmer, and I've been noticing a lot more in that field too. There have been a lot more online conferences, just because of travel budgets and, you know, the expense, and you lose so much time traveling as well. So even for extroverts like myself, it's very hard to be able to justify more than maybe one or two lucky.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for me, the issue is a lot of those online cons tend to be USA-centric, and being 5 hours ahead means the action's happening when I'm asleep.
Yeah, but at the conference, nobody goes to bed anyway, so...
I like bed. we know that Greg's a web programmer, and I work in publishing, in boring publishing, not the exciting kind. But what do you do? On your about page, you say you work for the man, SJ, but, you know, what do you do in real life?
I'm unemployed at the moment, looking for work. But before that, I was working for Food Store To Go, which is a online delivery service here in the Bahamas that delivers groceries.
Oh, actually, I love delivery groceries. It's really lazy, but I get them like once a month. It's just like this giant delivery arrives, and I found it's way cheaper than going to the shops, and I don't have to carry it. So. Mm-hmm.
And no spontaneous purchases.
Actually, no, I do a lot because I'm like, ooh, all I have to do is click. Ooh, what's on sale? There's the pound shop, and it has everything that's £1 gathered together. Then I end up with a load of random crap. Like, yeah.
It's actually kind of a phenomenon down here because we don't have services like that. It's actually one of the first services that we've had that utilizes the internet. So I'm hoping that more people will take the initiative and start businesses start utilizing the internet down here.
That's cool.
Does that mean the ebook market is fairly small in the Bahamas as well? Is there that still a hunger? You said there's not much.
There's
maybe
not
as
much
big emphasis on reading, but is that true for ebooks as well?
I think because of the ebooks, they're making it more accessible to the younger generation down here. Because I have friends who read down here, but I don't know that we're mainly a culture that majority of us read that much. But no, we have a paper, we have... things like that. And we do have some publishing houses, but I don't actually know many that publish fiction like that. I think more and more people are creative Bahamians are starting to look towards self-publishing because of the doors opened recently with the Kindle and Amazon and Nook and all of those new enterprises.
Yep. Smashwords, I was thinking.
Yes.
Can't think of any others.
What's the local, like, bookstore scene like? Are there any kind of bookstores around, whether they're independent?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
There's a Buy Book and Boss does sell some books, I believe, still.
What about cooking? Because on your about page you said you try to, I really liked how you worded it, harness the alchemy that is cooking.
Yes.
Whereas I tend to just like throw things in a pot and hope for the best. So
I do definitely just pray and hope for the best, but I'm learning how to cook from I didn't grow up in a household where I learned how to at an early age, so I'm teaching myself now.
Excellent.
What's the worst experiment you've ever had? Mine was, I think I made what was it? It was like supposed to be chili con carne, but it just turned out really, really weird, and I ended up spinning it. But yeah, what was the worst thing you've ever cooked?
What was the worst thing? I think it would be the first time I tried to cook chicken Kiev, which I actually had in England when I was over there in 2010 for the first time. So I said, hey, I'm going to try to cook it. And it totally didn't come out good. I couldn't get the breading right and I couldn't cut it to where to insert the butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't turn out too bad, but it was just kind of a disappointment.
I consider myself a pretty decent amateur cook, and I do just want to interject and say that breading is the devil.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I tend to be really lazy, and I buy ready-made chicken Kievs. I've never made one.
But those are so good.
Yeah, no. Right, SJ, is there anything that you feel our readers, our listeners, whatever people need to know about you?
Oh, now you've done it. Well, I do offer illustration services. Mostly it's just commission. I'm slowly but surely getting into commission on my art, trying to get it out there that I'm offering these services as a way to sort of supplement my income while looking for a job. So if you go to reigninginc.wordpress.com, there's a tab that says want to hire an artist, and that has all my information there. If I do have more samples on my Tumblr, which is reigninginksketches.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's just reigninginc.tumblr.com.
Yep, and we'll include all the links in the show notes as well. So
great.
Listeners don't have to worry to try to remember them. And I'll highly recommend SJ, right? Because I'm commissioning from you. So,
yep.
Yeah, if only I could draw, but sadly all I can do is stick figures.
Well, that's how I started out, you know.
Really?
Yes, I was not a art prodigy at all. I just started out drawing stick figures, and eventually you learn how to do an eye, and you learn how to do a mouth, and years of practice, and you get semi-good at where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm a bit too lazy for that.
I applied myself, and I can draw a whole bunch of stick figures.
Stick figures are great, though. You shouldn't undervalue the greatness of stick figures. I've known people who have done whole animations with just sticks, and they've been great.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine was in the stick animation scene for a while, and actually, I will say that it's pretty incredible what they were able to do.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about stick figures, you might as well mention Cyanide and Happiness, which is probably my favorite stick figure comic of all time. Cyanide and Happiness and XKCD.
Great.
XKCD?
Need to write those down.
I can send you the links. They're both stick figure comics, web comics, and they're both well, Cyanide and Happiness, you'll like it if you have a kind of twisted sense of humor and you don't mind things being a bit mean.
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
XKCD's really, like, geeky, and some of them go over my head. I'm clearly not intelligent enough, but a lot of them are just managed to understand and find funny.
Mean humor is what Bahamian society is built on, so I shouldn't have any problem.
Cool, right. Well, I think we've covered a lot about Bahamas, and I've learned quite a lot that I didn't know before. So let's just take a quick break and have a reading. And when we come back, we'll be chatting about NaNoWriMo. But for now, here's a story for your listening pleasure.
This week's mid-show web fiction reading comes to you from Jim Zotoway, if I'm saying that correctly, from The Legion of Nothing, Chapter 3, On Patrol, read by Kara Dennison.
The League's HQ had a lot of exits. The one I shot out of opens up just above water level on Grand Lake itself. It used to pour sewage into the lake, but it was abandoned by the city in the 1960s. It was Grandpa's favorite way to exit the complex. I could see why. There's something about bursting out of a tunnel, flying briefly over dark water, and then turning to see the lights of the city, the public beach, and the harbor. I'm not sure what it is. By the time I crossed the highway that runs next to the lake, I'd formulated a few rules for what I would and would not do that evening. I was not going to go find Cassie and Daniel. I was not going to turn on the police band and listen for crimes. What I was going to do was get out of League HQ, get out of my parents' house, and do something that nobody had told me to do. If it so happened that I saw a crime being committed, I would stop it, but I wasn't going to seek out trouble. I landed on a lawn just on the other side of the highway, next to a collection of hotels and high-rise apartment buildings. Running, I crossed the sidewalk and merged into traffic. With a name like The Rocket, you might expect Grandpa to have flown everywhere, but he didn't. He only had an hour of fuel to work with, so he spent most of his patrols on the ground. Even though the new version of the suit was lighter than the original, making that 1 hour of fuel last three, I liked running. For one thing, it charged the suit's battery. For another, if you really wanted to appreciate the physical power the suit made available to you, you could keep up with traffic, provided traffic was moving below 40 miles per hour. Not that I had much traffic to deal with. I deliberately chose an empty street. This evening's exercise was less about fighting crime than sorting things out in my head. I got into the run, settling on a good 30-mile-per-hour pace, and began to think about what had driven me out for the night. It wasn't really the life of a superhero that bothered me. It was the feeling of being pushed into it. Grandpa had never asked me if I wanted his suit. He'd just given it to me in a secret clause of his will. He'd also never asked me if I wanted his lab or the League's HQ beneath it. Or if I needed $11 million in a Swiss bank account earmarked for fighting evil, all of which would be donated to the Superhero Legal Defense Fund should I choose not to bother. So yeah, no pressure. Despite having all the time in the world to think, I got nowhere. I ran through conversations with my grandfather in my head, trying to think if he'd ever brought it up in any way. I couldn't. In the end, I just concentrated on the running, not worrying about where I was or how quickly I was moving. By the time I started paying attention to the world around me, I didn't recognize anything. The SUV ahead of me stopped. Not having the space to slow down, I jumped up, shooting over the SUV, and landing just short of people smoking on the sidewalk in front of Willie's Bar, or so said the sign in the window. The guy nearest to me dropped his cigarette, shouting, "Holy shit, you trying to kill me?" I gave a little wave and said, "Sorry." Thanks to the fact that I've been showing Daniel the suit's ability to imitate sounds, this came out less reassuring than I thought it would. We're talking 100% dead-on imitation of Darth Vader. On the bright side, the landing had killed my momentum. Deciding to stop trying to salvage the situation, I ignored them and started walking. The SUV wasn't the only stopped car. From what I could see, the line of cars went to the end of the block. It wasn't a block that I would choose to be stuck on. This part of 4th Street seemed to be heavy on bars, liquor stores, seedy shops, and boarded-up buildings. I reached the end of the block to find two cars in the middle of the intersection. A rusty blue pickup had hit an Audi convertible from behind, smashing the trunk in. A crowd of people stood on the corners and watched while the owners yelled at each other. In one corner, a 30-ish blonde guy who looked like he went to the gym several times a week. In the other, next to the truck with the broken headlight, stood a pot-bellied 40-something with a stringy beard and a Metallica t-shirt. I stopped at the back of the crowd, wondering if I would have to open up with the rockets and fly over. "Excuse me," I said, "coming through." No one turned to look at me. No one moved. It occurred to me that switching the voice mechanism to a lightly modified version of my own voice and away from Darth Vader's might have been a bad idea. I tapped the guy ahead of me on the shoulder. He wore a Grand Lake University sweatshirt and was standing at the back of a group of guys. He turned around, beginning to say, "What do you want?" when he suddenly seemed to notice the armor. "Please move," I said, turning the volume up on the PA a little. "No problem," he said. "Guys?" They parted like the Red Sea. The man in the Metallica t-shirt had the passenger door open and seemed to be going through the glove compartment. "Give me a second," he muttered. "A second? I've given you 20 minutes. No, you're going to find your fucking insurance now." The blonde man pulled a handgun out of his Audi. The first thought that jumped into my head was that someone should call the police. The second thought, that I was an idiot. I jumped into the intersection, moving between the two men. I got shot. The bullet bounced harmlessly off the armor, but it was still a surprise. I pushed his arm toward the ground with my right hand while pulling the gun away with my left. Once I had the gun in my hand, I stuck my fingers through the guard and pushed the trigger sideways till I broke it. Then I dropped the gun and the trigger in the street. He looked down at the gun, and then back up at me. Then he started shouting, "You broke my gun! I'll kill you!" He went on in that vein for a while. I had no idea what to do. I had options. The most obvious was threatening him or punching him, but I didn't want to. When I was in costume, I could punch through walls and people. I knew I had to do something, though. In the moment, however, it was hard to think just what that should be. As some bullies at school had found, I was not all that great with witty repartee under pressure, either. I decided to ignore him. I turned to check on the guy with the truck. He'd shut his car door and stood next to the vehicle, having found what he was looking for, or just given up. From behind me, I heard, "Hey, you're not listening to me! Listen to me, damn you! I'm going to sue you! You and this guy, too! He trashed my car, you trashed my gun, that's private property! Did you hear me? Private property!" I turned around, increasing the volume on the built-in PA as high as it could go. As in, up to 11. Now, before I go on, I should mention that I've always had mixed feelings about the suit's sonic systems. First of all, because they could have permanent side effects, like deafness. Second, because I had always seen them as a result of 40 years' worth of feature creep. Back in World War II, Grandpa decided the suit needed a PA. Then, he decided it might be useful if the PA could modify a person's voice. Then, he noticed that he could break glass with the PA and wondered how far he could take that. Since the early 70s, in addition to the PA, each arm of the suit has had weaponized speakers that can focus concentrate sound on an object, sometimes shattering it, even if it's not glass. Not that I was using anything more than the PA, but the PA was bad enough. "Will you shut up?" I said. He heard me. That's what I'm assuming from the way he put his hands to his ears and now his face whitened. Not only did he hear me, but so did the crowd, which went dead silent, people several blocks away, and, for all I know, people inside the International Space Station. He whimpered. Lowering the volume to something bearable, I turned back to the guy with the truck. "You may as well find your registration, because I think I hear the police." He didn't say anything. He just nodded. "Well, anyway," I said to the crowd, "have a nice night, everybody." I started the rockets and blasted into the air, just as the police cars arrived.
That was an abridged version of The View from Above by Furries in a Blender off of the Violet Kingdom album at lapfoxtracks.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebFictionWorld. Email us at WebFictionWorld@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And we're back. So, we're going to discuss the actual subject of today's show. Which is NaNoWriMo. I had a blank there for a moment. National Novel Writing Month, for the few of you who probably haven't come across it before. I personally took part in NaNoWriMo once and then failed, so I'm probably not the best person to speak about it. So I'm going to hand over to Greg to explain what NaNoWriMo is. Go.
Well, NaNoWriMo is, if you're a crazy person and you have an idea for a book, you commit to writing a book in 1 month. I believe November has 30 days, and you write an entire book in 30 days. And the rule is that you do not edit it during this time. You write the whole thing day by day, and you see what you end up with. It is a great exercise for doing that thing that we all hate to do, which is writing something that we think is imperfect. And it's a great way to keep yourself motivated and keep yourself writing word after word after word, which is how novels are written. There's actually a pretty huge community these days about it. I remember when it started, and it was pretty small, and not a lot of people were doing it, but there's a big community to help you stay motivated and help keep your nose to the grindstone when you're getting out all of those words. Is that a pretty good synopsis of it?
Yep.
SJ, did he miss anything?
Not that I can tell.
Well, I think you missed a word count factor. Isn't it 50,000 words? So that means you're supposed to write something like 1,665 words a day.
I think it's 1,668, but yeah.
Yeah,
somewhere. Wow, you guys can do math. That's impressive.
Considering that generally my average word count per week is like 3,000 words, yeah, that's like flopped miserably. But have either of you two successfully taken part in NaNoWriMo?
I've taken part. I don't know that it was successful, though.
I think I got about 5 days in, and then life happened, and I had to quit. But I've written, all of the successful things that I've written have been written using a very similar technique where you don't edit until the end, and you just, if something's crap, you just try to fix it by writing more later, and then try to trim it out in editing. I think it's a great thing, and I really wish I had the wherewithal to do it and commit to it for an entire month.
My problem is my inner perfectionist just comes and nags me until it sounds somewhat decent, so I don't pay attention to the don't edit, because it drives me crazy.
Now, what are the specific rules around it now? Because I know that they used to say you can have something in mind, but you're not necessarily even supposed to have an outline. Is that the case?
You can have an outline. It's actually some people prefer to have an outline, but they say you're not supposed to write any specific words. Like, you can't start chapter one or prologue or anything. You can't start a sentence. It has to be just planned, what you're planning to do.
Oh.
Unless you're going to be a dirty cheater like me. But they don't call it cheating. They call it being a rebel.
I was a NaNoWriMo rebel last year. And instead of writing a novel in a month, I tried to edit a novel in a month. But it was hard to judge my progress because the novel was longer than 70,000 words. But I did do, like, most of it. in a month. And I think I preferred that to, I'm too much of a perfectionist when it comes to like writing, and I want to sit there and think, and where's the story going? Whereas with editing, I can just power through that quite quickly because I already know what's needs fixing. So I was thinking this year I might be a NaNoWriMo rebel again and do something alternative. Yeah.
I think I'm a bit like you, where it's like I'm an excellent rewriter, not so much a great writer.
See, I think I'm the exact opposite. I much prefer to just blurt stuff, and quite frankly, I hate editing. Like, I have that internal editor, and it's taken me many years, but I think I've finally suffocated him. So now I just can write and write and write and write, but I never want to see it ever again.
Greg, I want to be like you when I grow up.
So Greg, since you're the writer, and we're the rewriters, what's your advice? What tips would you give us on, or, you know, people taking part in NaNoWriMo more generally this year, how to resist that urge to wanting to edit, and like what kind of, I don't know, techniques we can use to just push through? I mean, is there anything particular you do, or are you just crazy?
Well, I am crazy, so I don't want to discount that, but a couple of different techniques that I've employed over the years are, one of which is I don't let myself take my hands off the keyboard, which sounds silly, but if you have to like manually backspace through a whole bunch of stuff, it takes so much longer. And if you are really obsessive about you're going to go back and edit, put something on top of the backspace key, like put a piece of tape over it so it feels weird when you hit it or something like that, because then you have to keep writing. Like, and you can put notes in the text and everything like that, but you have to keep going. You have to keep the story. There's that pressure to keep it going. Another thing that actually really worked out well for me was if you're on a computer, you can shrink the whatever the word processor you're using. I use OpenOffice. I shrink it down until it's literally one line tall, so I can only see the line that I'm writing. So I have to keep everything in my head and let it spill out onto the page, and I can't see anything else that I've written on any of the other lines. And it's kind of about tricking my brain. Like, I have to outsmart myself, because I know if I can, I will try to like adjust stuff. Probably not as drastically as perfectionists, but I will be like, oh yeah, he wouldn't actually say that. But yeah, you got to outsmart yourself. Helps if you're crazy.
Sounds very clever to me, actually.
I could not do that one line word processor thing. I'd just be like, what was the sentence? I mean, for me, when I've taken part in other writing marathons, like the novel push initiative, and I've always found the best technique for me to get me writing regularly is peer pressure. So like telling people you're taking part, tweeting your progress, having someone like making, you know, buddying up with another writer and trying to like meet the same targets. Cause then you see that they're writing and you feel really bad about not, you know, for me, I guess I'm just also really competitive. So having that added extra of someone's watching me always makes me meet my targets. And that's why I think I've always found web fiction a really good way for me to finish stories, because, you know, if I don't update on Mondays, then I've got my readers going, where's the next chapter? And like, you know, you, God, what are you doing? And that pressure seems to work more for me than, oh, I've decided I have to write 1,000 words every day or whatever.
Yeah. And that obligation, I'm the same way. Like when I was doing the Guide to Moral Living, an example, regularly, I would never miss an update, or I missed an update every couple months, because it was just my rhythm, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then when I fell off of that, I fell off of it hard. Like, the wagon is no longer even visible to me anymore. and I think that that's a great point. Now, my question for the two of you who have adhered to this NaNoWriMo schedule, how do you, are there any tips or advice that you can give for making sure that people understand, like, yeah, you can't go out for drinks tonight because, hey, you have to do this editing?
Well, for me, as Jenny, Monday nights is my night to write or edit or do whatever I want. And everyone in my social circle knows that it's off limits. So generally, if anyone asks me, I just say, I'm sorry, even the boy doesn't get any attention. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, I tend to talk quite a lot about my writing, so people seem to understand that it's really important to me. And in the worst case, I just say I'm sick and I can't come out, and oh no, I feel so bad. And, you know, I've used that one or two times. SJ, what about you?
Oh, well, I'm pretty lucky enough that I don't really have peer pressure most of the time. I'm not very social, so. Yeah, I usually just write through the weeks, and I pick a time where I know that my family is not going to have any real need of me.
Do you find find that it's easier to have, because for me also, I like to have that pressure because it helps me to schedule myself better. Do you find that it's harder to schedule if you have like less on your plate than other times?
Definitely. It's kind of easy for me right now where I don't have a job, that I can sort of pick any time I choose to just start writing when I'm not sending out resumes.
Right.
I find for me, like, the busier I am, the more I seem to get done. Whereas, like, when I'm on holiday, I just think, yeah, I have loads of time. And then, I don't know, I don't seem to get anything done when I'm at work. And then, you know I'm seeing my friends. I guess it kind of turns writing into less of like a leisure pursuit and more of a job almost, and so I just sit down and, you know, get it done. And I think that's what's good about writing marathons.
That's quite true, because when you have time constraints, it helps you to sort of focus on, okay, this is the time specifically for that.
yeah
exactly. Are either of you going to take part in NaNoWriMo this year?
I am not going to.
I'm hoping to. I'm trying to get my outline sorted now, so I'm going to see whether or not I have enough to work with or whether or not I need to not do it. It kind of will depend on whether or not I get a job by November.
What were you thinking of writing for it? I mean, what's your rough idea?
Rough idea is, actually, I have a sentence. Werewolf Pariah must choose between three opposing factions, knowing that a choice could lead to apocalyptic consequences for already war and magic scarred world.
Sounds badass.
I thought so. Thanks.
I can't believe you managed. So I write an entire novel and I still can't summarize it in a sentence.
All of these techniques that I've learned through the Holly Lyle How to Think Sideways course. It's really, all of the information that I've gotten from it has been invaluable.
Is that an online course or is it a book or what is
it? It is an online course, or at least it was an online course. She's converting them to ebooks now for the Kindle and Nook and I think Apple as well.
I'll have to get you to give me that name and we can put it in the show notes for everyone. I was actually just clicking around on the NaNoWriMo website and I didn't realize it's been running since 1999.
Wow.
It's got quite an impressive history to it. And I know that obviously people constantly throughout November end up driving me mad because they're tweeting about NaNoWriMo all the time. Am I the only one who gets annoyed by it? It makes me feel guilty, like I should be taking part, but I'm not. Here, they're rubbing it in my face, which is another reason I was thinking of taking part this year, just so I can do it back to them.
Right, if you're involved in it, suddenly it becomes less annoying. And it's something that we do together instead of all those other people do.
Yeah. So one of the, I guess something that everyone complains about that I've noticed with NaNoWriMo, which I struggled with as well, was that dreaded writer's block. And do you guys have any particular techniques to overcome writer's block? Personally, what I've always tried to use is just some kind of, especially with NaNoWriMo, where it doesn't really matter if the story goes a bit off the plot, just get a random writing prompt and try to just use that and put it in somehow. Even if it doesn't make any sense that a unicorn appears in your story, you might as well just put one in to get it going forward. But do you guys have any techniques to overcome writer's block that you know might make a bit more sense than mine?
Well, I actually I don't use outlines very frequently with my writing, and I think anybody who reads my stuff regularly can probably tell that. And I think that, at least with my method, the way that I write is to write myself into corners. So I don't really suffer from classical writer's block. I always have writer's block because I'm never quite sure how I'm going to get out of where I've written myself into. So it's constantly like an escape attempt. So I think I'm kind of useless for that.
I was going to say that would make me nuts. I mentioned clustering and word mapping. I tend to use those and ask myself questions about whatever specific scene that I'm stuck on and saying, okay, where do I need to get to? How can I get there? Is it a character motivation that's messing me up? What can I do to backtrack and say, okay, I need to put this in there for that to make sense? And also music helps.
Definitely. I find music really helps me get into the mood. Like, I try to build playlists either for particular characters or particular settings, and then I can't listen to music while I'm writing, or I end up writing the lyrics, and it really annoys me.
I get the same way. It helps if you start maybe, like, listen to it for, like, 30 minutes before or something, just to get yourself in the mood, I find.
Yep. Another thing I do is I also have, like, an iOS box. It's more like a shoebox with loads of scraps of paper in it when I've gotten little snippets of ideas. When I get a bit stuck, I pull out this really dusty old shoebox and kind of flip through the little scraps of paper. And just reading through them tend to kind of inspire. I don't know, do either of you guys do that, or am I just the shoebox person?
I don't, but that's a pretty interesting idea.
What do you do with, when you get like an idea, or like just like a snippet of a scene, and you write it down and it doesn't fit anywhere? What do you do with it?
I have a giant notepad file going where I type stuff and then completely forget about it for months. I probably should adopt something so that it becomes useful. How about you, SJ?
Yeah, I usually use either a notebook or a notepad on the Windows setting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find like having a physical version makes it more. I'm just really old school or something.
I like the idea. I'm thinking about adopting it, so I hadn't thought of that.
Well, because I used to have like a note, like a, you know, proper physical notepad, and I'd write things in it. But then, I don't know. I just, not being able to just sort through the pages and just having it always in a structured order made it harder for me to kind of, you know, brainstorm off of it. Whereas the fact that they're all on little individual pieces, or even sometimes index cards, you can just, they're a bit more free flowing. I don't know. I tend to be quite, you know, visual with a lot of things. Like when I'm outlining, I tend to just stick up loads of index cards all over my wall and draw arrows between everything. So
do all of the pieces in your shoebox stand alone? Are any of them dependent on others?
What did you say, sorry?
I was just asking, do any of the sheets of paper or shoebox have dependency on any other cards, or do they all stand alone?
Mostly they stand alone. I don't know. I've never pulled them all out. But I guess when I was talking about writing prompts, one website that can't remember who recommended it to me, which is really good for writing prompts, is Type Trigger. Have either of you two heard of it?
No, I haven't.
No.
It's like every 6 hours they put up a new writing prompt. You're supposed to like write a 300 word story or something. But I find they're really quite good in that. I don't know. It's just kind of the most random things, and the fact that it's 4 times a day. Means that you can just keep going back and getting quite a lot of new content. So I will add that to the show notes for everyone to use.
Cool. We're going to have quite an encyclopedia of links after the show's over.
I'm just a genius.
Yes. So readers, I apologize if you're listening to this on your iPod during a walk or something, because you really need to be sitting in front of a computer right now.
What was I gonna say? Someone say something clever. So Greg, go.
Hippopotamus. Let's see. So we were going over NaNoWriMo. I'm trying to think. I had a question, and it's completely blanked out. And, of course, because I'm a writer, I didn't actually write it down.
Did it relate to hippopotamuses? Hippopotami?
Everything that I've done today is related to hippopotamus somehow. It was about outlining. It was because we have an artist on the line.
Oh.
Well, let me ask this. This was not my question, but I'm making up a new one because I'm curious. When you're working on a story, do you start with how do characters come to you? Because you're, as somebody who's visual, do you have an image of the person, an image of the character, image of a scene, or does that develop after you have an idea for a story?
Yes. Most of the time it's the character that comes to me first, and then I work the story around that. It usually is more of a visual of them, and usually it'll come to me and I'll start drawing and sketching and seeing, okay, well, how do I want this to be? And suddenly scenes will come to me based on those.
Okay.
And what about, like, I mean, you mentioned your outlining for NaNoWriMo. What technique do you use for outlining things? I mean, are you quite detailed in your, because when I write outlines, I tend to write a big long Word document with the entire story, and then I break it down into kind of chapter or scene chunks, and I keep kind of going back and breaking it down further and further. I have the most detailed outline in existence. I know Greg's averse to outlining, but I've always found when I take part in something like NaNoWriMo that if I don't have an outline, I just can't do it. What outlining technique do you use? Is it something that's quite rigid or free-flowing, or I don't know?
No carding, and it can be rigid or free-flowing depending on just who you are as a person, really, but I do tend to take the more rigid approach and put them in order of the way I want and keep them that way. But my no carding process is I usually just write a sentence per scene, basically of the main conflict, and then I'll write some little notes of things that I want to add as I'm thinking of the scene, little bits of dialogue that might come to me or who exactly is in the scene. I feel like if I don't have an outline, I can't do it, but at the same time, if I have too detailed of an outline, it ruins the process of discovery, yeah.
That's interesting, because that's actually the reason that I've had difficulty using outlines, because I constantly try to use them, but I run into situations where I feel like it's taking away from the fun because it's so rigid. I don't feel like the characters get a chance to actually, like, be themselves. Have either of you run into that?
I forced you to use outlines, and now you're complaining.
It's true. Well, that's my problem. I'm very attracted to the idea of them, but I haven't quite figured out how to leverage them for my purpose.
I think the thing you have to, at least from someone who is now, and I outline everything. I outline my outlines. the thing is to remember that the outline isn't set in stone. And even when I write mine, you know, in great detail, and it's not just the main conflict. I also, if I think of snatches of dialogue, I put them in and whatever. But then if I'm actually writing and it doesn't work, I will really easily just go, no, I'm dropping this entire scene and put something else in. It's just kind of, I see my outline as the framework for my story. But as I'm, let's say, putting up the walls and putting up the pictures and go, oh, wait, you know, I don't actually want the bathroom here. The bathroom would make more sense over there. And I have the rest of the framework to keep the house standing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that make any sense, or am I...
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Your outlines are such that you can actually just shift stuff around, and so changing the position of the bathroom won't change the position of the master bedroom to get extended before.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if your outline is so tight that you can't change anything, then the problem isn't with your outline, it's with the way you're looking at it. Because it is just a framework. It's not, you know, you're not tied to that story. You could just throw away that outline and write something else if you wanted to. I guess for me, like, I find the outline gets all my thoughts out and avoids those major plot holes that, you know, like all those, I don't know, all those hippopotamuses that keep appearing in your story. You could get rid of them in the outline section, you know, and deal with all the mice that come up later, you know, and instead only have less animals roaming around in your story.
That makes sense, actually.
And it would make your editing life a lot easier, Greg.
Ah. Said the E word. I hate it.
SJ, since you're involved more in the artistic community, this is, I think, my last question for you, since I have a cold and I'm feeling a bit blah. But is there an equivalent to, like, NaNoWriMo or writing marathons, but for, you know, artwork?
Oh, actually, on Tumblr, I know, a few artists participate in these little mini challenges where it's like a sketch a day or a drawing a day of any particular topic, like trying to think, like your favorite scenes from whatever fandom they're participating in. It's actually quite fun. I know, trying to think of, I know they had one recently. I don't know if either of you have seen the Avengers movie.
Yes.
Yeah, no. They had a Tumblr challenge recently about Clintasha Week, which was basically them drawing pairings of Clint Barton and Natasha Romanoff from the Avengers movie.
Cool.
And they'd like
Did you take part?
Sorry?
Did you take part?
I didn't. I wanted to, but couldn't because of time constraints.
Yeah, well, if you can find it and send me the link, that would be cool.
Sure.
Greg, do you have any last questions for SJ?
I think I'm all set, and I will be having nightmares tonight about that question that I completely forgot.
when we hang up, you're just going to be sitting there going, damn.
Yes.
God, it was about hippopotamuses.
If you guys, I'm swearing, it's me yelling. Yep.
Yep. Right. Well, I think we've said everything that could possibly be said. So thank you, SJ, for joining us today and sharing your thoughts with us. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. Is there any final words?
Yes, actually, I just found out if I do decide to send or post this up on my Facebook or something and some Bahamians are interested, we actually have somebody who took over for NaNoWriMo for our area, which I didn't know about until I checked the website a few days ago. And it's great because I don't know anybody that's done this before. They're doing all sorts of events, and if you're a writer and you want to take part, I think it's a great way to sort of test to see if this is something that you really want to get into.
Cool. Well, if you have any links, just send them through to me by email and I'll add them to the show notes so everyone can see them. So thank you again. That's the end of our show today. The next topic is as yet undecided. If you have any ideas or suggestions for future podcasts, please don't hesitate to drop us a line at webfictionworld@gmail.com. That's it for now. Thank you to our guest and to everyone tuning in. My name is Anna Hart. I'm here with Greg X. Graves, and you've been listening to Web Fiction World. Until our next show, keep reading, keep typing.